But when you are tempted, He will provide a way for you to escape so that you can stand up under it. What I want us to do this morning is I want us to realize that temptation is real, that we're all going to face it. But I also want to give us some remedies for temptation. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 11 through 15, that God is not tempting us. For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does He tempt anyone with evil. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is finished, it gives birth to death. James is directly addressing this subject. He doesn't beat around the bush. He says, we are going to be tempted, but when we are tempted, don't blame God, because God is not tempting us. God doesn't tempt us because God cannot be tempted with evil, and He doesn't tempt anybody with evil. That when we are tempted, we are drawn away by our own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. So temptation strikes all of us. At school, at workplace, at home, parents, children, leaders, followers, all of us have to deal with temptation. James said, he didn't say, if you are tempted, he said, when you are tempted. So temptation is a reality. Now, before we go any further, let me emphatically state that temptation is not sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, at verse 15, it talks about Jesus there, and it says that He was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is an invitation to sin. We are the ones that have to accept that invitation. But the fact that temptation is inevitable is something we need to realize. Therefore, that makes this subject, it makes it applicable to every single one of us here in this auditorium. Now, I'm going to talk about some ways that temptation, some remedies. Actually, I picked out 10 of them. Now, I know you're thinking right now, oh, heavens, we are going to be here all day long. Well, I cannot talk about them very long. I am going to deal with the first one a little bit, but then from then on out, we're just going to really go through them. But I want you to have these. I want you to know these. And I hope and pray you'll practice them, because they are remedies for temptation. But anyway, here we go. Remedy number one. We focus on the word recognize. Recognize the lies of temptation. Now, I know there are many of them. I picked out three main lies that the devil tries to tell you or get you to believe about temptation so that you will be tempted and that you will sin. Lie number one. I'm too strong to allow myself to give in to temptation. Satan would love to have you to believe that. No one is too strong. But when we become overconfident, what that does is it causes us to let our guard down. We don't take it seriously. We don't take precautions. We don't run from it. We play with fire. And partner, when you play with fire, you are going to get burned. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, so if you think you stand firm, take heed lest you fall. We must not toy with temptation. It will reach out and it will grab us and it will destroy us. The second lie that the devil would have you to believe about temptation is that nobody else faces this kind of temptation. What that does is it simply is designed to give me permission to sin. Well, nobody else faces this. I'm all alone. You just don't understand. Well, Paul reminds us here that in verse 13 that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Oh, it changes faces. It changes places. We live in a world where it's delivered with the speed of the communication that we have. But there's nothing new. We read that in other places. Nothing new under the sun. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. It's been around since the Garden of Eden, and it will be around until the end of time. No, you are not the only one that's ever been tempted in this way. And then the third lie that Satan would have you to believe is, I didn't have a choice. It really was, God is kind of your fault. It's everybody's fault. It's everybody's fault but my fault. I just didn't have a choice. I just got overcome. Well, that, my partner, is a lie. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says just the opposite. It says, and God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted more than what you can bear. And then it goes on to say that with every temptation, He will provide for you an escape. Now, what we see here is that God is He doesn't tempt us. He cannot be tempted, but what He does do is He puts a limit on temptation. He puts a limit on how much you can be tempted. And then on top of that, He provides for you a way of escape. Now, it did not say He will show it to you. It says He will provide it for you. Which means that you have got to find it. You got to look for it. But I can guarantee you it is there. God keeps His promises. And this is one of them. He won't let you be tempted more than what you can bear. And with every temptation, He will make a way for you to escape. So now once we recognize these lies of temptation, then we can apply the rest of these remedies. So the next nine, buckle up your seatbelt. If you'll listen to me, I'm going to go through these quickly. But I do want you to know that God and God's Word is there to help us, to help you with your temptations. Remedy number two, we focus on the word resist. Resist temptation. How many of you remember Nancy Reagan's slogan for anti-drugs back in the 1980s? Her slogan was, just say no. There is so much power in that little two-letter word. Just say no. In James 4, verse 7, James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Remember whenever Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4? When he finally just kept resisting the devil and resisting the devil. In Luke 4 verse 13 it says that the devil gave up until a more opportune time. He said, this is not working right now, and he left him. Resist. Number three, we focus on the word request. Request God's help. Heaven, people, heaven has a 24-hour hotline, and God is always there to man it. This is an SOS, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Request God's help. And it doesn't matter if you ask Him 100 times a day. He's always there to hear your request. Now again, it doesn't say that every prayer that we ever pray, God will answer yes. But He certainly is there when it comes to asking His help in our temptations. In Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, I want you to listen to this passage very carefully. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one that has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Number four, we focus on the word recognize. Recognize your weaknesses and prepare yourself. All of us know that there are things in our life that we have weaknesses. And I can absolutely guarantee you that the devil knows that too. He knows what your weaknesses are. In fact, that's where you can be assured he's going to aim at whenever he comes at you with temptation. He's not going to hit you where you're strongest. He's going to hit you where you're weakest. So what do we need to do? What are some remedies? That one of the remedies is recognize your weaknesses and prepare yourself. Number five, we focus on the word recite. Recite Scripture. The only person that ever lived that was perfect and without sin was Jesus. And how did he do it? Well, we know in Matthew chapter 4, he recited Scripture. He quoted Scripture. It seems like that every sermon we preach, every class we're in, it always comes back to this one thing. The book. The book. Get in the book. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that it's our sword of the Spirit. Why in the world would we go out to war or to battle with sin and leave our weapon at home? Get in the Word. Study the book. D.L. Moody once said that sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. Number six, we focus on the word refocus your attention. Refocus your attention on something. Temptation begins by capturing our attention. And the more we focus on it, the more we concentrate on it, the stronger the temptation becomes. So one of the big remedies and a good remedy for temptation is to refocus your mind. Refocus your thoughts. It may mean getting up, changing the channel. It may mean turning off the TV. It may mean getting up and leaving the computer. It may mean leaving the room. It may mean walking away from the group. Whatever it takes to refocus your attention, you need to do it. We've got too much free time in our nation, and it has certainly led to a lot of sin through temptation. Number seven, reveal your struggle to a godly friend or a support group. If you're losing the battle to sin, get some help. If you got a good friend or a good brother or a good sister, talk to them. We've already said talk to God. That's your best source. But sometimes we just need to talk to a friend. James says in James 5, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Hiding your struggles only intensifies the situation. Number eight, remind yourself of the consequences of sin. When we sin, we don't just hurt ourselves. We hurt family, we hurt friends, we hurt others. Sin is designed to hurt and destroy. Now, it may be sugar-coated and try to hide it, but the end of every sin is a dead-end road. Ask the prodigal son. Oh, Satan painted it as the bright lights in the far country. But he found himself in a hog pen. If David had just thought about what he was doing whenever he was tempted by Bathsheba, if he could have just stopped and thought about the horrible consequences of where that might lead, maybe he would have turned away, gone back into the house. That would have never happened. Consequences are tough. One night, giving in one time, ruin a life. Just riding in a car where these things are happening makes you guilty, and you can wind up just as convicted as the one behind the wheel. Think about what you're doing. Think about what the consequences could be and might be if you give in to temptation. And then number nine, realize the presence of God. You're not having to do this alone. You may feel alone sometimes, but you're not having to do this alone. God is there with you. He's your rock, your redeemer, your very present help in time of trouble. And then number 10. If all else fails, Run. Get away from it. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Paul gave this advice to his son Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Flee evil desires of youth. You remember the movie Forrest Gump? And the kids were throwing rocks at Forrest. And Forrest didn't know what to do. And Jenny said, run, Forrest, run. And Forrest started running. And he ran all across the country. Run, Forrest, run. Sometimes the only way out is just to run. I think about Joseph and the temptation that he faced in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife was in love with him. Joseph undoubtedly was a very, very handsome young man. And finally she made her advances physical to where she grabbed him, and Joseph literally ran out of his cloak, ran out of his clothing to get away. Sometimes that's exactly what we have to do. We just have to pack it up and run away. Well, there are you some, at least 10 remedies that you can use this next week. You can use it today to help you with the temptation that is inevitably going to come. And you have to realize that. That is powerful, it's real, and it'll get you if you're not careful. Now, the best thing to do is to defeat temptation, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do not. And for that, I want you to know that we have a forgiving God. I don't know what temptations you're dealing with this morning. Maybe some real tough ones. But I do know that, in addition to these remedies, I do know that God is very interested in you. And He wants you to come back home. One of the things that the prodigal son had to grab a hold of when his sin had gotten so bad that he was in a hog pen, one of the things that he had to hold on to when his life was going to pieces was, I can go back home. And when he did, humbly did, he said, I'll just go back and be a servant. But when he did, the Father was waiting for him. Ran to him, hugged him, kissed him, welcomed him back. Your Father will forgive you. This morning, don't try to defeat this by yourself. Let your God help you. If you haven't committed your life to the Father, you're trying to handle these things all your own, in no way. You're a strong person. You're a good person. If you're not a Christian, you haven't let your faith lead you to repent of those sins, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you're fighting a losing battle. You need God on your side. So do not tarry. Come, while together we stand and sing.
Without Him I could do nothing. Without
Seated, please. Thank you ever so much for your presence here today. We appreciate that. And certainly we appreciate those of you that are visiting with us and want you to come back any and every opportunity that you have. Even maybe this evening, we began at 6 o'clock with our worship service, and we'd love to have you back. Tonight we're going to be talking about Paul's dilemma. Paul's dilemma. What was that? Hope you'll be back with us. Speaking of visitors, we have a young man visiting with us here from Harding today. Jackson is here. He's going to be an intern for Arvest Bank for the summer. And he'll be back in about 3 weeks. He's got some intercession, and he's going to take another trip before he back and starts work here, but he's looking for someone that would be willing to rent him a room. If you have a room, and he says that he'd be glad to mow your yard and clip the hedges. And so, hey man, what a deal! What a deal! Fine young man. So if you so if you have a room for Jackson, and would like to have some company and someone to live with you this summer, there's your man right there. There's your man. Are there any other announcements need to be made before we're dismissed this morning? Mr. Charles, you started your month this month today.